We begin the current daf, Masech, the site, the daf Yud Gimel. We begin on the bottom daf Yud Beis Mabez, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which is discussing the narrative in the beginning part of Sefer Shemais, discussing the Jewish people in the beginning of the servitude of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. So the Gemara brought the narrative which discusses Moshe Rabbeinu being thrown as a little baby into the water, and it said that his sister Miriam stood there by the side to see what was going on, and then she got her own mother as the wet nurse to nurse Moshe Rabbeinu because he wouldn't nurse from any Egyptian woman. So related to that period, that episode, the Gemara brings the following pasuk in Shemais. It says, "V'tikach Miriam hanavia achis Aaron begerman." This is a pasuk later on, which says that Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, that she took the drums. This was when they were singing and dancing by Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, the question on that pasuk is, Achis Aaron, Achis Moshe, why is it calling Miriam Hanaviah, the sister of Aaron, she's also the sister of Moshe? Why pick one sibling? So on that, some say it was Amrav Nachman, Amrav Melamed, this comes to teach, Shahisa Misnabam, we're calling her Miriam Hanaviah, when did she first become a prophetess? Keshehi Achis Aaron, when she was only the sister of Aaron, meaning before Moshe Rabbeinu was even born. And how so? And as we continue to talk about Gimel and Aleph, Vaymeris, because she said, Asida imi shetelid ben, my mother will ultimately give birth to a son, Shemeshias Yisrael, that will save the Jewish people. And that was before her brother Moshe was born, and it was a reference to Moshe. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Achais Aaron, Hanaviah, is because that's when she was a prophetess already. Now, Bekimen Shenol Moshe, once Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nismali kol abayis kula ur, the whole house filled with light, Amaravia Vinashaka Al Rashas, our father came and kissed her on the forehead. And Amalah, he said to her, Biti, Niskaminuvasaich, my daughter, your prophecy came true. Now, but once they had to throw him into the river, Amaravia Utafacha Al Rashas, our father came and tapped her on the head, saying, Amalah, he said to her, Biti, Hechinivosaich, my daughter, where's your prophecy? Meaning he was supposed to be the savior of the Jewish people, and here he is drowning in the river. And that's what it says in the pasuk, and that was in the contents that we were speaking about in that part of the parsha in Shemais. That says, that his sister was standing from afar, to know what was going to happen with this child, her brother, being thrown into the river. Why? She wanted to know what's going to be the end of her prophecy. She had a prophecy, he's going to save the Jewish people, but look at here, he's going to his death over here. That's why no one else was going there. The only one that was there who knew something had to happen was Miriam, and she was the one that was standing there watching. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, which was this idea about Mida Keneged Mida, which is that how a person acts, that's what's done to him. So he said that Yosef Zacha V'chulo, that Yosef merited to bury his father. So since his father was buried with a great person through him, so he was also buried through a great person, which was Moshe Rabbeinu burying Yosef. Now the Gemara has a related discussion to this about Yosef bearing his father. The Gemara says, "Maishna mikra, why is it that originally the pasuk says Vayal Yosef likpres av, that Yosef went up to bury his father, Vayalu ita kol avdei parah begoyim, and all the servants of Parah came up with him. They left Egypt up to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father Yaakov. V'hadin, only then later does the pasuk say v'chol beis Yosef, and all the whole family of Yosef, ve'echav, his brothers, or beis aviv, and his father's family, and that is first it mentions in the procession, the Egyptians, before the brothers of Yosef. And why did it change at the end when they came back from Eretz Yisrael, from the burial, to on the way back to Egypt? The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Yashav Yosef Mitzrayim, and Yosef came back to Mitzrayim, who ve'echav, him and his brothers, and only v'hadah, only after that does it say, v'chol ha'olam itar likbres avav, and all that came up with him to bury his father, meaning the Egyptians. Here for some reason, on the way back, it mentions the brothers first, and only then the Egyptians. So Amar Rabbi Yechon explains, B'tchila, in the beginning, when they were first going up to bury in Israel, they didn't see the great honor of the sons of Yaakov, so they didn't treat them with respect, so therefore they went ahead of them. But at the end, when they saw the great honor that was accorded for the family of Yaakov, Nogben covered, therefore they treated them with honor and let them go front, and they went behind them. So, like it says in the pasuk over there, it says, "Vayevoyu at Gorin Ha'atad." They came until Gorin Ha'atad, which was on their way up to Eretz Yisrael to bury Yaakov. Now the question is, is there a threshing floor for thorns? In other words, does a person gather thorns to make a threshing pile out of it? What does that mean, this place, Goyin HaOtot? So Amr Bavor, Bavor explains that Malamed, this teaches you, Shekifuhu Kisarim Laroin Shal Yaakov, that they surrounded the coffin of Yaakov with crowns. Kegoyin Zeh, like this threshing house, Shemekifun Loyatot, which they surround with a wall of thorns to keep out anyone that doesn't belong there. That's what they did. They surrounded the coffin of Yaakov with crowns. Shebo b'nei Esav b'nei Yishmol b'nei Keturah. That's because the sons of Esav, the sons of Yishmol, and the sons of Keturah, these are all relatives of the family. They were there near Eretz Yisrael, and they came to that procession. Now, Tanur learned the Brayso said that actually kulam l'mochamba, all of them were coming to wage war against the sons of Yaakov because of the contention that there is with Yishmol and with Esav. And now, however, Kimin Shiro Kisra Shal Yosef told by Rin Shal Yaakov, once they saw that Yosef, who was the king literally of the world, of the great superpower of Egypt, his crown was hanging from the coffin of Yaakov, so not Lukulon Kistrain, but Talon by Rin Shal Yaakov. So they all took their crowns and hung it from the coffin of Yaakov. And Tanur learned in the Braisa that Shleishim Meshish Kisarim Nitlu by Rin Shal Yaakov. There were 36 crowns hanging from the coffin of Yaakov, which, as Rashi says, 12 from the princes of Yishmael, and 23 alufim, which was a term of the leaders of Esav, and the one of Yosef, were the 36 crowns, and that's why they saw the great honor accorded. They were like, wow, okay, these are really noble people. And therefore, when they saw that on the way back, they let the sons of Yaakov go first, and only then did the Egyptians go. Now it says over there, that the eulogy, the mourning for Yaakov, was great and heavy. So Tanur learned the Braisa, what does it mean? Even the horses, even the donkeys participate in the mourning of the death of Yaakov Avinu. Now, Kivin Shagiu L'Marsa Machpelah, the Gemara continues with the story of burying Yaakov Avinu. That when they came to the Marsa Machpelah, which is the double cave of where the others are buried, Asa Esav Kama Akiv. So Esav came and he held up the procession. He says, no, you're not allowed to bury Yaakov, your father, over here. Because Amalan, he said to them as follows, as the Pasuk says, Mamre, which was the name of the place, Kiryas Ha'arba, which literally means to say the city of the four, he Chevron, that's where Ma'aris HaMachpelah was. So he was saying that, why is it called Kiryas Ha'arba, says Esav, because it could only hold four pieces of people. Now, Amr B'Yitzchak in Rashi says, it's not that Esav is quoting Rabbi Yitzchak, it's the Gemara that's saying that must be the reason why Esav held them back was because, like Esav was correct, that it could only hold eight graves, which is four piers. Because, like Rabbi Yitzchak says, Kiryat Arba, it's called, because Arba Zugas Hayu, there were four peers that were buried over there. You have Adam V'Chava, Avram V'Sara, Yitzchak V'Rivka, and Yaakov Aleya. So therefore, Esav said, Ihu Yaakov Kavar L'Leya B'Didei. He already buried his wife Leia in the portion that's coming to him, as the Pasuk says, B'Shama Kavarti Es Leia. He says that that's where I buried Leia. So therefore, says Esav, Ahai D'Payish D'Dihu. So the one that's left over is me. There's two sons for Yitzchak, and we inherit that portion in Maris HaMachpelah. Yaakov took one for his wife, I get the other one. So Amalei, they said to him, no, Zavinta, you already sold it. When you sold the Bechari, the rights to the firstborn, then you also sold the Maris HaMachpelah. So Amalei, he said to them, Nehi Dezvini Bechirusa, you're right, although I sold my firstborn rights, so I'm not going to take double, which would to take both, maybe, but I'll take just like him. So Pshitusa Mizamini, did I sell my, as of a regular son? So therefore, that I didn't sell, so at least part of it I should get like a regular son. So Amalei, so the Shvatim said to him, in, yes, you actually sold even your regular part and you totally liquidated your rights in this Ma'ara, in this cave. So like it says in the Pasuk that our father told us when he was passing away, he said, Bekivri Asher Karisili, I want you to bury me in the grave which I was Karisi for me. Now, Amr B'yechen and Mishim B'shim B'nei Tzadik, in kira el lashon mechira. When he says asher karisi me that I did kira for, it means lashon mechira that there was a sale, meaning that I bought. Shekem bekracha ayam karin la mechira kira, as we find in the overseas cities that they call mechira kira. So that's what he was telling them, that he bought, meaning even the regular part he bought from Esav. So Amalhu says Esav said to them, Havli garta, bring me the document, show me the sale, the deed of the sale, to prove that that's actually what happened. So Amr Levi said to Esav, "Vigarta b'ardim Mitzrayim, the deed is in Egypt." No. So they said, Uman Nezel, who's going to go? Nezel Naftali, the Kol Ki Ayalta. They said, let Naftali, one of the 12 Shvatim, who's swift like a hind. So like it says, the Pasim Bereshis, Naftali Ayala Shalucha, he's like a sent hind, Hanois Nimri Shefer, that gives words, beautiful words. Now, Amr Bavo, he says, Al Tikri Imri Shefer, with a shin, Ela Imri Sefer, with a sin, meaning with a samach, that he was the one that was sent to get the words of the document to show and bring the proof that the whole thing was sold to Yaakov. Now, however, as the Gemara continues the incident, Chushim berayed the Don Tam and Haba. One of the people that was there was Chushim, who was the son of Don, one of the Shvatim. Now, Vikirin Le Udne, which literally means to say he was heavy in the ears, meaning it's, he couldn't hear that well. So Amalahu, he said to them, to the rest of the people that were there, he said, Mahai, what's going on over here? Why aren't they burying our Zayd, the Yaakov, our grandfather? So Amalahu, they said to him, Kama'akav hai, this one, Esav, is holding us back. Ad-as-u Naftali, Ma'ar Demetzrayim, until Naftali comes from Egypt. So Amalahu, he said to them, I don't get it. Ad-as-u Naftali, Ma'ar Demetzrayim, until Naftali comes back from Egypt, Yehi Avi Abba Mutal Bebizayin, so my grandfather has to lay here in a state of disgrace, not being buried? So Shakal Kulfa, he took a stick, and Machia Resha, he hit Esav over the head. Natran Eina, his eyes popped out. V'nafla Kar the Yaakov, and it fell on the feet of Yaakov. And Paschinu Yaakov le'eni v'achach. Yaakov opened up his eyes and he smiled. The Heinrich said, that's what it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Yismach tzaddik yichaz enakam. The righteous person rejoices when he sees revenge. Pa'am of yirchatz b'dam arash, his feet will be washed with the blood of the wicked, meaning Esav, his dead body fell on Yaakov's feet. And the idea is that although the other ones were engaged in this dialogue with Esav, and they didn't realize as time was going on what the disgrace was, but Chushim, that just suddenly out of nowhere just heard it, was such overwhelmed with that emotion that he was the one that stood up for his grandfather. So it says, but Esav Shah, at that moment, Niskayim Nebu Asa Shal Rivka. So the prophecy of Rivka was fulfilled, like she had said, when Esav was trying to kill Yaakov, she said, Yaakov, please get out of here. Lama Eshkol Gam Shnichem Yemechad, why should I lose both of you in one day? Now, so the Gemara says, "V'avigav demisasin loy biyemecher habi." Now, although ultimately they didn't both die on the same day, but for us and me biyemecher habi, they were both buried on the same day. That's what she was saying. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? That ended up coming true during the burial of Yaakov Avinu. Now, the Gemara asks, related to what we had been discussing previously, which is from this part of the Mishnah that said that Yosef merited to bury his father, so he merited to be buried by Moshe. Again, that idea of midah keneged midah. So the Gemara has to be Eloi Asik Be Yosef. If Yosef was not the one that was involved to go ahead and bury his father, Achiv Loyav Ma'aski Be, would his brothers not have been involved in burying their father? In other words, that how did the brothers allow Yosef to take all the credit and to be the forerunner of the involvement of burying their father? What do you think? They just had thrown off the yoke and they weren't concerned with the burial of their father? In other words, if Yosef had not done it, would they not have done it? But the Pasuk says clearly, that all the brothers, all his sons came to bury him in the land of Canaan. So we see that since they were all involved, so the question is, why does it say, that the Torah makes it sound like the primary one who buried him was Yosef, where all the brothers were taking responsibility? So why is all the credit, and why did the brothers allow Yosef to be the one that was taking the credit? So Amru, they said, I mean, the brothers said amongst themselves, Hinichulai, let Yosef be the one that, so to speak, doing it, to be involved in the burial in regards to all of us, because Kavayde, the honor of our father, is b'malachim Yosef b'hedyotis, he gets more honor when a king is doing it, which Yosef was a king, than when common people, which is the rest of us brothers. Now the Mishnah continued and said that, so Yosef buried his father with such great honor because he was a king burying his father. So Milana Godlam Yosef, so who has it greater than Yosef, who he married to be buried by the greatest Jew that lived, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the same idea, because he buried someone else, his father, with great honor. So he himself was buried with great honor. Tanya Rabbanan, learn the Braisa related to this, that Moshe Rabbeinu buried Yosef. He didn't actually bury him. He started that process of taking him out of Egypt to bring him up to Eretz Yisrael. So it says, Bo re'ei kama chavivis mitzvahs al Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how dear mitzvahs were to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael kula nis'asku v'bizi. All the Jewish people that were involved in the spoils of Egypt, taking that out as they're leaving Egypt. When nis'asku b'mitzvahs, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? No, money. He's involved with mitzvahs, with Hashem's commandments. And then, like it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Chacham lev yikach mitzvah zvigaymer. A wise heart, he takes mitzvahs, he knows what's really precious, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. No. So the Gemara, however, asks a practical question. From where did Moshe Rabbeinu know that Hechin Yosef Kavod, that where he was buried? How did he know to be able to take him out of Egypt? So Amrude, he had said, Serach bas Asher nishtari ma'is adar. Serach, the daughter of Asher, one of the 12 Shvatim, was left over from that original generation. So Halach Moshe Etzlis, so Moshe Rabbeinu went to her. So Amrullah, he said to her, Klomat Yedas Hechin Yosef Kavod, do you know where Yosef is buried? So Amrullah, she told him, Arin shalmatechas asala mitzvim. The Egyptians made for him a casket made out of metal. The kavu benilus hanar, and they pushed it into the nilus, and so that it should just sink to the bottom. Kadesh is borchu meim, so that the waters of the nilus should be blessed constantly. And the reason is because Egypt doesn't have rainwater; rather, it's made with channels of streams and rivers, all coming from the nilus. When that rises, it goes from many parsoyes, it goes to the other, all the end of Egypt. And that's how it waters all the fields. So they knew that Yosef was a great man, so they wanted him buried over there in the Nilus to create blessing for it to come up and order the whole land of Egypt. So Halach Moshe ba'amar al-Sfas Nilus. So Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he stood by the edge of the Nilus. Amar lo, he said to him, Yosef, Yosef, higia ha'es, shenishba kadosh baruch hu shani goy leschem. He says that Yosef, Yosef, the time has come where Hashem had sworn that he's going to redeem them. Therefore, the oath that you made the Jewish people take has also come, which is that at the time when they leave, they should take your bones. So if you show yourself that we know where you want, where we could take you, so be it. That's good. But if not, we're cleansed from your oath because we don't know where you are to take you up. So immediately, the coffin of Yosef floated to the top of the river Nilus. Now, on that, the Gemara says, "Val titma heich barz l'tzav." And no wonder, how's it possible, this story, that iron is floating on water, sharik siv, because we have a pasuk in Malachim Beis that says, "Vayihio echad," that there was one of the students of Elisha that was mapalakari, that was felling a beam. He was chopping it. The only problem was that the iron of what he's chopping with fell into the water of a game, etc. Now he was disturbed. He said, "Oh ha, Adoni, oh woe, my master," speaking to his rebbe, "V'hushal." But this metal that he was chopping the beam with, it was lent to him, and now it's lost in the water. So Bayyimi Ishwal came. So the man of God, meaning Elisha, said to him, "Onanafel, where did it fall?" Bayyirehu esamakim, showed him the place where the iron had fell into the water. So, b'yiktav eitz, b'yishlach shem esawar, Elisha did, he chopped wood, and he threw it in over there, b'yosef ha'barzel, and the iron floated to the top. So says the Gemara, v'alidvarm kavochemer, so it's a kavochemer, where logic tells us, uma Elisha tamidish Eliyahu, so if Elisha, who was a student of Eliyahu, and Eliyahu tamidish Moshe, Eliyahu himself was a student of Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's not that he actually learned from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, it's just that he learned, like every Jewish person, learns the Torah of Moshe, which is what the Masorah that we have from Har Sinai. And still tzav barzel upon them, and still Elisha had that iron floated in front of him. So of course Moshe Rabbeinu could have done the same thing, and that's what happened with the coffin of Yosef, that it had that the metal coffin floated to the top. Rav Nosson, he has a different version. He says that actually bekaver nitcha molochem hayukaver, that actually Yosef was buried in the catacombs of the kings, which this word covenant is a Greek word, so that's where Yosef was buried with all the other nobility of Egypt. So Halach Meishav Amr al Kavanet Shemalachim. So Meishav went and stood there by the covenant, by the tombs of the kings. And Amr, he said, Yosef, Higia Eish Shenishba Kadosh Baruch Hu Shanigoy Leschem. The time has come that Hashem swore that said, I'm going to redeem you. And therefore, Vegia Shvur Sheshbat Eisesol, the oath that you made, the Jewish people made, has also come. Imatamar Asmachamutav, if you let it be known where you are in this, in these caves, then it's good. But if not, we're cleansed. We're not responsible for the oath. And at that moment, the coffin of Yosef shook, and therefore they were able to identify which was his. And not Lumosha, the Yitzchak, so Moshe Rabbeinu took his bones and brought it with him. Now, the Gemara continues and says, all the years that the Jews were in the desert, there were these two Aroinis, these two boxes. One of the dead one, meaning reference to Yosef's bones, Bechet Shal Shechina, one of the divine presence, Mahalchen Zem Zeh, which is Diyar and HaKadosh. They were going one with the other. There were passerbys that would tell the Jewish people, Mativ and Shal Shnei Aron Zalolo, what are these two boxes that you Jews always have with you? Some of them said, Echad Shal Meis, Vechad Shal Shechina. One is of a dead person, and one is of the divine presence, which is the Luchis. So they asked, V'chi Madarka Shal Meis, L'alach Meshechina, why is a dead person going with the divine presence? Some of them said, and as we continue on Talmud Beis, because Kaim Zeh Kol Masha Kasa B'Zeh, this one, meaning Yosef, fulfilled what was written in this one, meaning in the Luchis, which actually, as Rashi brings, which is, it specifies in the Mechiltim, in Parshas B'Shalach, for example, on the Luchis, it says, Anoichi Hashem Likecha. So, regarding Yosef, it says, he said, Hasachas Alekim Ani, am I in place of Anoichi? That is, he understood Anoichi Hashem Likecha. When it says the next, Lo Yilacha, that you shouldn't have any foreign guards, he said, Halekim Ani Yirai, fear Hashem. When it says, Laisisi, you shouldn't take Hashem's name in vain, when he swore, he said, Chei Pari, he only swore in Pari's name. When it says, Zachas Yom Shabbos, you should remember the day of Shabbos. And, V'tavoyach Tavach V'hachin, which was that Yosef was telling what to prepare. That's a reference to prepare for Shabbos, as it says elsewhere, Bechinur Sashiyaviyu, that you should prepare for Shabbos. And so too, for all the Aseres Adibris, it's what was written over there was fulfilled by Yosef. And so moreover, Rashi says, Leisis Nesachichab Vavacha, he didn't hate his brothers, Leisikim Leisit, he didn't take revenge, he didn't hold a grudge, V'chechichimach, he supported his brothers, and therefore, it was appropriate that these two Aroinas should be one next to the other, because this one fulfilled what was written in this one. Now, the Gemara asked, as it had asked similarly regarding Yosef burying his father, it asked the same thing regarding Moshe being involved with the burial of Yosef. So the Gemara asked, "Be'ilay asik be'Moshe, if Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't involved in taking the bones of Yosef, Yisrael lo have him askebe, would the Jewish people not have been involved in burying him? In other words, how did the Jewish people let Moshe Rabbeinu do it himself? Weren't they concerned for the oath that Yosef made them take? And therefore, isn't it true that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have done it, they wouldn't have done it themselves? But Vaksiva, the pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, says Ves Atzmes Yosef, in the bones of Yosef, Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people took off from Egypt, Kiver B'Shechem, they buried in Shechem. So obviously, that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away in Arbis Mayav, the Jewish people were involved and they took it over the Jordan to bury in Eretz Yisrael. So why is it that they allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to, so to speak, take all the credit? B'Sum, moreover, is the next level of question. Eloi asku be Yisrael, if it wouldn't be the Jewish people who were involved in burying the bones of Yosef, meaning after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, taking over the Jordan and Eretz Yisrael, banav lo have maskebe? Wouldn't the children and grandchildren of Yosef have been involved? How did they let the rest of the people, the Bnei Yisrael, be involved in burying their grandfather's bones when they should have done it? Because Vaksiv doesn't say there at the end of that pasuk when it talks about Shechem, it says vayiyu lebnei Yosef lenachlo, that it was for the sons of Yosef as an inheritance. In other words, that obviously we see that they buried their grandfather in their own lands, as where they could use it as they please, because it was very dear to them, their grandfather's caver, his bones. So why did they let the rest of the Jewish people do it? And why did the rest of the Jewish people allow it, Moshe Rabbeinu, to do it when he was alive? So Amr, that what happens is that the sons of Yosef said to themselves, Hidnichulai, let the rest of the Jewish people go ahead and bury our grandfather. Because Kevayda, the honor of our grandfather, is b'merubim Yosef b'mu'atim, would be greater being honored by the majority of the Jewish people do it than the rest, just a minority group of us, his grandchildren. Now, B'su Amr, more where the Jewish people themselves said when Moshe Rabbeinu was still alive, they said, Hanichulai, leave Moshe Rabbeinu, let him do it, because Kevayda b'gedolim Yosef b'mu'atim. Yosef's honor is going to be treated better by having great people, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, do it more than small people like us, the rest of the Jewish people do it. Now the pasuk there says that we just quoted, the Kivu B'Shechem, they buried Yosef in Shechem. So the Gemara asks, Maishna B'Shechem, why specifically in Shechem? So Amr B'Cham and B'Chanina says, because Mishchem Gonvuhu, because Yosef was stolen and then sold down into slavery from Shechem. As the pasuk says, V'yishlecheyu me'emik Chevron v'yavi Shechema, that Yaakov had sent Yosef from Chevron and he went to Shechem, and B'Shem Ha'irayim, that's where his brothers were grazing, and that's when they made this whole plot and sold him down and sold him down into Egypt, into slavery. Now Rashi clarifies that the place where it says in the Chumash, Dyson, is not actually a place, because it says, V'yemer ha'ish nosim, is that they said, oh, he's not here in Shechem. Your brothers went to Dyson. So actually what that person, which Rashi over there says was a malach, told them, that you're saying, Es achai ani mevakesh, you're saying you're looking for your brothers. So now he was telling him, they're not your brothers anymore. They don't treat you like a brother. Because this person said to Yosef, he says, I heard that they're looking for deisana, meaning it's a dostois and dinin, which are words for pretext of law. They were figuring out logistically, halachically, how they could legitimize killing you before you come to them. So it wasn't that they were in Dyson, they were in Shechem, but he was just telling them, look, don't think they're going to be your brothers, that you're looking for them. They're Dysana, they're looking for Dasleis and Dinim, how to get rid of you. So that's from where he was stolen. And therefore, that's what the poetic justice is, L'Shechem Nachzav Dasle. That is to Shechem, that the lost object, that of the stolen Yosef, was ultimately returned and buried there. Now the Gemara asks, related to this idea that we're saying about who buried Yosef, Kashu Kora Dadi. There's a contradiction in the Pesukim. On the one hand, it says, V'yikach Moshe's asmas Yosef imay, that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him out of Egypt, and not the rest of the people. Yet, V'ksib, but there's another pasuk that says, V'es asmas Yosef ashehelu b'nei Yisrael, V'gaymer, that it was the Jewish people that brought up the bones of Yosef out of Egypt. So who did it? Was it Moshe or the b'nei Yisrael? So Amr B'chamer B'chanin, he says, Kala Eisa Dava V'loi Gamaroi, whoever does something, but doesn't finish it, and then someone else comes and finishes it. The Torah considers the one who finishes it as if he's the one that did it. And therefore, since the ones that ultimately buried Yosef were the Jewish people, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, so therefore they're considered in the pasuk as if they were the ones that took his bones out of Egypt, even in the beginning. Now, Rabbi Lazar, he says even more than that. Someone that starts and doesn't finish, he actually gets demoted from his greatness from heaven, and unless, as in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu was, where it was something that it was beyond his capabilities, because he died in Eva Yarden, so therefore he wasn't demoted from his gedula. But the chesed, like it says in the pasuk, as we do see this idea, which is vayihiba esahiva yer Yehuda. It was at that time that Yehuda went down, meaning that he was demoted from his being the king of the brothers, because he had started a mitzvah of saving Yosef, because he said, ma betzah, what are we going to gain by killing this our brother? But he didn't finish it, because he would have saved him and brought him back home. Since he didn't finish, he was demoted from his malchus. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, he says actually, af koyver ishto yobanav. Someone that starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish it, which as the Mefarshim explain, it's meaning you're starting the continuity but you don't finish it. So too, the same thing is with a person's continuity, which is his family. He buries his wife and his children. Where he starts, he has a wife and kids. He started the mitzvah, but he doesn't have the gemar. Like it says in the pasuk, but Thomas Bashua, Eshes Yehuda Begamer, that Yehuda's wife died. Uchsiva Yamas Erba Einan says that his two sons, Erba Einan, also died. Now, Amr Yehuda Merav says, Memneima Nikur Yosef Atzmes Bechayev. Why is it that Yosef's, his body was called bones even when he was alive? Whereas Yosef says to the Jewish people, Valisim Esatz Moisem Ezeh, that you should take up my bones from here when you leave Egypt, which he's still alive, and he's being called bones. So said, because he didn't protest regarding his father's honor. Because the brothers had said to him, when they didn't know that he was their brother, and they knew he was the second in command of Egypt, Avdecha Avinu, our father, your servant. He didn't say anything. Now, and therefore, for that, he got punished, that he had to be called bones, when that's not what a person really is, and that was his punishment. Now, another statement, Vam Rav Yehuda Merav, Vitam, at some say it was Rav Chama bar Rav Chanina, Memnei ma meis Yosef kaim le'echav, why is it that Yosef died before the rest of his brothers? Memnei shehinig atzma b'rabanis, because he had taken upon himself a role of superiority, of leadership, which had caused a person to die at an earlier age. Now, related, which discusses this about, as we said before, Yosef being sold down to slavery, moreover the idea about someone being going down, like Yehuda was Yared Yehuda, so to be Yosef Hurid Mitzrayim. Yosef was taken down to Egypt. So Amr Balazi says, Atikri Hayrid. Don't say that he was taken down. Elo Hayrid, he took others down. What does that mean? Shahayrid it's Tagnini Pari Migdulasan. He took down the astrologers of Pari from their greatness when he interpreted Pari's dream, and they didn't know how to properly interpret Pari's dream. Now it says, V'ikneu Petifer Sirs Pari, that when he was sold down to Egypt, so Petifer, who was the attendant of Pari, purchased Yosef. So Amar Rav, Rav says shekanoi la'atzma, because the way you read it by knehu paitifar, that he actually purchased him for himself, for his own needs, in other words, for sodomy, for homosexuality, because of his great beauty. Now, however, Bo Gavriel upiroi, but Gavriel the Malach came and did a higher level of castration for Paitivar. And as we see, Meikarik said Paitivar. Originally, he's called Paitivar. Well, Lebesayiv Paitifara. At the end, he's called from the word of Fera, which was that a piroi that he's uncovered that he was totally emasculated because of what he tried to do to Yosef. Now the Mishnah continues, and the Gemara quotes that, and it says, "Milanu gadol miMoshe v'chula," where it continues. Yaakov is honored by Yosef, who was great. So Yosef merited to be honored in his burial by Moshe, who was great. And then Moshe, because of what he had done, he also had, who can have something greater than what Moshe Rabbeinu had to be buried, where he was buried by Hashem himself, which again is this continuation of what we see in the world of Mida Keneged Mida. Now, continuing on this theme of Mida Keneged Mida, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Eli Ravlach, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people that Hashem said to me, you have enough, you're not entering into Eretz Yisrael. Al Tosef Dabar Eli Oy B'Davar Hazeh, the Pasuk says in Devarim Gimel Chavav, don't talk to me about this anymore, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Amar B'Levi, B'Rav Biser, with the word Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu notified other people of which wasn't good tidings for them. B'Rav Bisruhu, so he was also notified with this word of Rav. As the Gemara explains, Barav Biser, he notified those who were disputing him, which was Kairach, Vadasai. He was notifying them, Rav Lachem, which the Pasuk says, you have enough, B'nai Levi. You're great people already. Why are you trying to get the top position of the Kohen Gadol? Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so precise with the righteous, like a hair's breadth, and he got punished with the same measurement of how he gave bad news to others, which, and therefore, Barav Bisru, he was also notified that he's not entering into Eretz Yisrael, with those are the words, Rav Lach, you have enough. Davach, another interpretation. What does it mean, Rav Lach? Rav Yeshlach, you have a master. You have a teacher, Uman Yeshua, and that's Yeshua. In other words, the time for Yeshua to be the Melech, the leader of the Jewish people, has come. And as we know, that Ein Malchus Nagas B'Chavarta. When one person's time of greatness has come, it can't touch someone, no one else can touch it even for a moment, and therefore it's your time to leave the limelight because Yeshua is taking over. Another interpretation, that when it says Rav Lach, that Hashem was telling him, it's enough. Stop asking me that to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the reason is, Shelo Yemru HaRav Kama Kasher. The people shouldn't say, how harsh is the teacher, meaning Hashem, that he's not listening to his student Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Talmud Kama Sarvin, and look how pushy is the student. So stop, because it's making us both, so to speak, look bad. Now, the Gemara says, "Kol kach lama." Now, why was it that he was punished so great just for saying Rav Lach, which Moshe Rabbeinu was right in his dispute with Korach, and that he got punished with the same words? So, Tanit Rebbe Shmuel was torn in the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel, Lafum Gamla, which is, according to the strength of the camel, is Shichana, is how much they increase the load. In other words, so to hear that according to his righteousness, that's how precise Hashem is with every minutia that the righteous person does, if it's not exactly according to the level, like we expect more things from older children, say, oh, you're mature already, then little children, same thing, obviously on greater levels, is the level of the righteous versus regular people. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayomer aleihem," he said to them, "Ben me'ev esim shana noichayem." I am 120 years old today, this is by Sefer Devarim, when he's going through Mishneh Torah, he's passing away. Now, so on that, the Gemara says, "She'in tamalim hayom." The word hayom today is not really teaching anything. So what does it teach? What it's coming to teach is hayom molu yom avishnoise. It's actually today that my years and my days have been completed, because actually today was the day that I was born, and today is the day that I'm passing away. Now, l'metcha, this comes to teach you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashlim shnoisem shal tzadikim miyem liyem mechadish l'chadish, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu completes the cycle to the day, to the month, of the years of the righteous. The Chassid, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, es misbo yemecha amali, I will fill the amount of your days, meaning you will live a full cycle of your years. Now, in that same pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, like uchal oid lotzis of lave, that I can't come and go anymore, meaning I'm towards my end. Now, the Gemara says, my lotzis of lave, what does it mean going out and coming in? Ilim lotzis of lave mamash, if you think it literally means, say, he was old and frail, he couldn't come and go anymore. But Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, Moshe ben Meiv Esim Shana ben Moshe. Moshe ben was 120 years old when he died. Loi nos lechoi, which literally means to say that the moisture didn't drip away. He didn't lose one bit of stamina, of strength. More of Vaksiv, it says in the Pasuk, when he was going to his burial to die, Vayal Moshe me Arvis Moiv al Har Navai. The Moshe ben went up from Arvis Moiv to Mount Navai. Now, Batan, you learn the Braisa that Shtayim Esri Mailas Hayisham, there were 12 steps over there. Upsan Moshe B'Psiachas, Moshe Rabbeinu jumped all 12 steps in one step. So he obviously didn't lose any physical vigor. So what does it mean? It means lots of love, it means to come and go, to be able to handle in the words of Torah. Malama, what this comes to teach is that the gates of wisdom were closed to Moshe Rabbeinu on that day, and that's what he was saying, I'm not who I used to be. Now, a later pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua went and they stood by the entryway of the Oil Moed. So Tanya learned the Braisa, which dramatizes what was happening at that moment. That Shabbos was that of peers. In other words, there is such a phenomena that there were times of when there were different people that would lecture. In other words, in this case, we're saying that there were two peers, there were two, so to speak, colleagues, which on that day led the Jewish people. The beginning of the day was Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day was Yeshua, where Nitla Rishus Mizev and Nitla Zev, the rights were given from one and handed over to the other, to Yeshua. Now, related to the pasuk that we brought before, to show the great vigor of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able to jump over the 12 steps to the mountain, that he was going to die this kiss of death, Mises Nashika, on Har Nevai. So, Vatana Lunda Brai says as follows. Amr Bihuda says, Il mole mikro kasav e efshal amr. If there wasn't a pasuk that was saying this clearly, we wouldn't be able to say something like this. But the thing is, Heichen Moshe Meis, where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Where did he, so to speak, expire? It's Bechelka Shal Reuben. It was in the portion of the tribe of Reuben, like it says in the pasuk, V'yal Moshe Me'arves Me'arvel Har Nevai. We quoted this pasuk just before, that he went to Har Nevai. Now, V'Nevai Bechelka Shal Reuben Kaima. Nevai was in the portion of the tribe of Reuben, like it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, V'Nei Reuben B'Nei V'Gaimer, that in the sons of Reuben, his son Be'es Nevai V'Gaimer. It talks about the children of Reuben, it says Nevai. Which the parentheses here says that, why was it called Nevai? Shasham Mesu Gimel Nevim, because that's where three prophets died. They all died towards the end of the Midbar, and at the same period was Moshe the Aaron Umiriam. Now, so that's where he died. Ve'heichen Moshe Kaver, but where is Moshe being buried? Bechelko Shel God, in the portion of the tribe of God, that's like it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, Ve'yar Reishus Lo Yibugam, that he saw the first one that he has, as the pasuk there continues, because that's where the lawgiver is buried, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, umechelke shel Reuben at chelke shel God kamaha. How far is the distance from the portion of the land of the, where the tribe of Reuben has to the portion of the tribe of God? Arba milin. It's a distance of 4 mil. Now, oisn arba milin mihaylicha. Who took Moshe Rabbeinu those 4 mil where he was died, where no one even knows where he was when he died, to where he was buried? Says the Gemara, Malamet Shahi Moshe Mutta B'Kanfei Shechina. This comes to teach that Moshe Rabbeinu was placed in the Kanfei Shechina, which Rashi translates as the corner of the garment of his glory. Umelache Asharis Oimrim, and the ministering angel said, as he was transported from Shevet Reuben to Shevet Gad, as the Pasuk there says, Tzitzkes Hashem Asa, the righteousness of Hashem he did, U'mishpatav im Yisrael, and his justice is with the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying at that time? As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Mi Yakum Li Mireim, says Hashem, who will stand for me with the evildoers to rebuke them in my name? Mi Yisyatzav Li Impoy Ali Oven, who will stand with me with the doers of iniquity, that my great messenger Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore? Shmuel Amar, he says a different Pasuk in Kehelis, that Hashem was saying, Mi Ka Chacham, who is like the wise man? Umi Yadeh Peshad Oven, who knows how to find a compromise, to have facilitate dialogue. In other words, because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make psharis between Hashem and the Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yechonamar, he says a different pasuk in Iv, Hachachma me'ayin timotze, the wisdom is not to be found because Moshe Rabbeinu is not here anymore. Rabbi Nachmanamar, he says a pasuk in Devarim that says Vayamasha Moshe b'goyme, that it was said by Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu died over there. Samuel Yenaimer, who is the name of a chacham, he said, Vayamasha Moshe Safarad Abadi Yisrael, that Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu died over there, the great scribe of the Jewish people. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadolimer, he says, Shneim Asr Mil, Ashneim Asr Mil, a distance of 12 mil squared, which is Keneged Machane Yisrael, which is the area of the whole camp of the Jewish people, Baskol Mashmi Va'omer, there was a heavenly voice that called out and said, Vayamas Moshe Safarad Abadi Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, the great leader, the great scribe, the great teacher of the Jewish people. Now, B'yeshem, actually, there are those that say that actually Loi Mais Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu did not die. Ksev Hacha, here it says, V'yamasham, that he died over there. Ksev Hasam, it says the Pasuk in Shemaitz, V'yisham, he was over there, Im Hashem, with Hashem, when he was the 40 days up in heaven receiving the Torah. Now, Malahal and Oibin HaMashamash, just like over there, he was standing and serving Hashem. Avkan, Oibin HaMashamash, here also, he's standing and serving Hashem. He hasn't died, he just went somewhere else to serve Hashem in that capacity.